The Bible says that we should train up a child in the way that he or she should go, and when he is old, he or she will not depart from it. Is that a guarantee that our children will make the best decisions, even with the absolute most stellar biblical training? No, it's not a guarantee. What we owe our children is to do our due diligence and to do the training. Well, how do you train a child in the way they should go if you don't know the way to go? Then there must be some responsibility on you, mom, dad, to make sure that you are equipped to train your child in the way that they should go. What does that look like? And why don't we talk about sex? Yeah, I said it. Sex. S-E-X. We're talking about sex education today. Let me tell you something. Hold on to your lap cloths. Tie your knee highs up with some rubber bands. It's going down so that we can come up, because somebody ain't talking. We saying a whole lot, but we ain't talking about the things that are helping our children to understand what sexuality is, the importance of it, because we wouldn't be here if somebody ain't have what? Sex. Something like that, right? Or at least something happened where some fluids were excreted somewhere, whether it's in a tube or in between and in betwixt. We're going there tonight because our children need to be educated about life. A part of life is procreation. A part of life is sex. And it was meant to be enjoyable. I believe Adam and Eve had a great time in the gardens. Somebody's having a great time in the gardens, and we got to talk about it. Okay, let's just get into it. If that's all right, let's go.
What is a critical conversation? Well, besides it being a conversation that needs to be had, a critical conversation reveals important context, not only about ourselves, but also the larger world around us. It is these types of conversations that edify, entertain, as well as heal. Join Latanya Harris-Gooden as she engages in critical conversations right here on Trailblazers Radio. Trailblazers Radio has merch. Check out our website, www.trailblazersradio.com/shop, to check out our store. You'll find an assortment of hoodies and t-shirts in various colors and sizes, as well as coffee mugs in various colors. Again, check out our website at www.trailblazersradio.com/shop to check out our merch. Thank you. When we talk about what a trailblazer is, it's usually associated with the words pathfinder, pioneer, or vanguard. So how about we add change agent to that? Welcome to Trailblazers Radio, a unique podcast platform that speaks about a myriad of subjects. We are not afraid of opening closed doors, and we always tell it like it is, period. We are accessible on various social media platforms such as YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. We're also accessible on various streaming audio platforms such as Spotify, Google Podcasts, and so much more. It is our mission to ensure that you are educated, entertained, and edified. And we thank you for tuning in to us.
Good evening, everybody. Good evening, and welcome to tonight's edition of Critical Conversations. And yes, you heard right. We are talking about sex education. And let me just give you a little bit of information before we dive into our topic. My sister is waiting patiently in the studio. You can support us by sending us stars. Stars help us to earn money to create more content. And as you heard in our commercial, if you're going to be a trailblazer, that means you are a pathfinder, pioneer, avant-garde, and we added change agent. You can't complain, but not have good suggestions, not be a person who starts, initiates, and perpetuates the right kind of dialogue. The reason why I sit in this chair, the reason why I do what I do, is so that we can have those discussions that may be a little bit uncomfortable for some, but it's necessary for all. And our children, our young adults, and even we, I'm 48, and let me tell you, no one knows all there is to know about sex. No one knows everything about anything. But I believe at young ages, it's important that we start to train our children so they can understand what's happening in the world. You can spin it how you want to spin it. You can be saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized. But guess what? Sex happens. It's happening all over. It's happening everywhere, and it has a purpose. So while you think you're keeping them safe by not having the conversation, no. How kids work, the less you tell them, the more somebody else will, and the more curious they'll be, and they'll run and get the information that you're not giving. So while you think you're doing the best thing by avoiding the conversation, you probably are doing the opposite of the best thing, because they need to know what's happening in the world. And let me just say this to you, disclaimer, we're going to talk about sex today, all types of discussions concerning sex. We're going to go into like molestation situations. If you have been touched inappropriately, molested, raped, assaulted, and you're triggered by this discussion, I want to give you a heads up, because we're going to go there. Because a part of sex, there's a good part of sex, and then there's a perverted part of sex, a manipulative part of sex. And I was talking to my cousin about this on the way home from visiting our relative from the hospital. And there's many layers to this. We're not going to be able to change the whole world in one show, but at least we are planting seeds of conversation little bit by little bit, so that you don't have to feel so uncomfortable. Sex is natural. It is something that was designed for men and women to do and to enjoy it. Now, we don't always do it in the right pretenses. However, we're going to address so much in this series. We're going to leave no stone unturned. And calling all therapists, educators, OBGYNs, doctors, if you have knowledge, you can be a sex therapist. People go to school to learn about sex. If that's you, I want to bring you into the conversation. We're not here to just toss around opinion. I got some articles, of course, but I would love to hear from the professionals who teach sex education, from people who have experience and learned knowledge on the subject. And to you Christian fanatics, to you religious radicals, to you pitiful Power Rangers who don't want to, you know, realize that sex is natural, you may want to tune out, because all the things you wouldn't talk about is probably why many of your children and grandchildren are running amok right now. So we're going to go there, and we're not going to apologize for it, because we are trailblazers and we are change agents here. I want us to be open, because guess what? If you don't teach your children, you're the first teacher. Come on. You worried about, oh, the teacher gonna handle it. What are you doing? What are you showing your children? They're hearing sounds from your room next door. They're hearing noises. Now I know what's happening to you, mom, dad. The least you can do is help them understand what's happening if you're gonna be doing that within earshot, okay? We don't want our kids confused, because trust me, what I didn't learn at home, Jodeci, Silk, Shy, all those, R. Kelly, all the songs taught me some stuff. Forever, my lady. So we're having a baby. And it means so much to me. Yeah. Ain't nothing more precious, he said, than to raise a family. Didn't say I was going to marry you, boo. It just said, so you having my baby. And that means so much to me. Yeah. R&B taught us some stuff, honey. Let's chill. What you talking about, Willis? R&B taught us some things on the bus going home, honey, on our Walkmans with our big Radio Raheem radios. Baby, R&B talked about it, baby. Even the blues talks about sex. It's everywhere. So we're going to talk about it from a perspective of the parent, child. But if you are an educator, therapist, doctor, whatever you might know that could lend to the conversation, I welcome you in the room. Hello, Cousin Kenyatta. In the meantime, like and share. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Trailblazers with a Z. Go ahead and subscribe to Critical Conversations with LHG on YouTube. And I'm also on Facebook. Let me pray, because I didn't wear no eyelashes today, because I didn't know how this was going to go. So I came eyelashless, because we're going to go where we need to go. And I'll get my sister up here and then we'll get started. So, dear kind and merciful Father, I'm letting you know right now, Jesus, it's gonna go there today. You know your child, and you know who you created and how you created me. I thank you, God, for this particular platform. I thank you for the people who have decided to support this platform, Sunette, Simone, Cousin Kenyatta, and everyone who comes through. I thank you because we can agree that there are some discussions that need to be had that can really set us free. For some reason, Lord, we have this belief system that we can't talk about sex to our children and still be a Christian. But we know the devil is a liar and a deceiver too. So God, guide us through this conversation. Give us the wisdom to be able to follow your path. We're not here just to be hearing ourselves talk. We want to shed some light on some discussions that need to be happening with our kids and our parents. And not only for the kids, but for the parents. We have to be monitoring what we do with our bodies too. We have to be, you know, honest about how we maneuver through the sexual life as well. We have to be making sure that we keep our temples, full with the Holy Ghost. So this ain't all just about the kids. We got to be able to demonstrate what it's like to do the right thing when it comes to our bodies. So how can we train up a child if we ain't living right? So God, first of all, cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Forgive us for any sin that we knew we did or didn't even know we did, and make us pure and clean as we attempt to train our children so that we can be transparent, honest. Some of us have been holding secrets for so long, got these kids so confused, and we wonder why that they have migraines. So God, I just ask you to do what only you can do, and that's just show up, help us to help somebody else and help ourselves at the same time, in Jesus' name, amen. Let me get my sister in here.
Hey. How you doing,
girl? Let me answer that question truthfully. Better. It's been kind of a sensitive, hectic kind of day. Been spending time with one of my loved ones who's in the hospital, not doing the best. So emotionally a little drained. However, I look forward to this time with you, Sunette, because this is what gives me strength, girl. When I tell you, if you're out there and you considering doing a podcast and you scared, I would just say, don't operate in fear. If you need someone to talk about it with and you want to look me up, I'll be happy to tell you my story, because confession truly does breed healing for me. And that's another reason why we're doing this sexual education series. We are walking around so stuffy when it comes to sex, scared to say certain things. But I don't want to give her a reason to go out there and do it, because if I give them condoms, that means they don't want to use them. But if I give them this, listen, let me tell you, Sunette, just like I said yesterday, last night, when I did my show with Lady Callahan, and she told me while her kids were in the womb, she was praying, asking God to give her the wisdom to raise these kids.
You got to.
I don't think God expected us to be perfect in anything. That's no parenting. So while you're doing your daily prayers, praying for the light bill, praying for the gas bill, the car note, how about prayer about raising your kids even before you conceive them? Those of you who are in marriages and you want to have children, maybe you and your husband should add that to your prayer now. Lord, we thank you right now for making us good parents to the kids that you bestow upon us. Come on.
And these are things, I'm sorry to interrupt. These are things collectively everybody's been saying. You got to have those hard conversations.
You got to.
Even before you get married, do you want to have kids?
Yes.
What's your religious views on kids? What's your discipline? What's your views on sex education?
Yes.
Which is a difficult one to have, but I'm just going to say this. What's your views on abortion? And these are like, a man will get mad if a woman becomes pregnant, but then gets mad if she wants to have an abortion.
Wow.
Dude, what you want is her body. And I've heard, allegedly in some states, a woman can't have abortion without the man, the father's consent.
Wow.
In some states. Now, I remember as a kid that if you were under 21, you had to have your parents had to sign off on it.
Okay.
And if you were married, your husband had to sign off on it.
And that makes sense. If you're married, I mean, that's something that the both people who did create this child.
I'm in a gray area on that. You have to have the conversation.
Yeah, I agree.
But ultimately, I think it's up to the woman. Because she's the one that has to carry it.
I get that.
And the only thing I have with abortion, because some people debate, is at the time of inception. I say once you start seeing the skeletal, the organs, and then once you get to first heartbeat, I say by week 6 or week 8, that's when I'm kind of like, I don't know. Some people say 12 weeks. I say as early as, I don't know. It's like, it's what the doctor, you have to go by your doctor. Because, you know, some babies develop earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But I said, if there's no heartbeat, I'm okay with it.
Right.
But once there's a heartbeat, I'm against it.
Let me say this, and I don't think I've ever said this publicly before. But growing up in a Christian home, I knew very full well that my family was 120% against abortion.
Right.
That's the Christian faith. Pretty much, we're pro-life, if I said that right. So my situation after I had my daughter, Gabrielle is 21. I had her at 28. And Then later in life, got into a committed relationship, maybe a couple years later, and I did end up pregnant a second time. Now, because the individual had proven to be problematic, heavy drinker, had cheated, I made a decision not to uphold what I was taught. But I didn't want to be a baby mama a second time. Let's just tell the truth and shame the devil today.
And as a daughter of my mother had 3 baby daddies, I always said I didn't want to be like, I didn't want to be in that situation. There were always boyfriends and husbands, boyfriends, but I didn't want to be that one to have multiple baby daddies. Nothing against those that do, but I've seen a difficulty my mother had. Out of the 3, only one was worth something.
Wow.
And ironically, he wasn't my father. It was thankfully my brother's father stepped in. But I didn't want to go through what she was going through as a single parent. That's why I agree with you. Being a single parent of more than one kid is too much. People don't realize how hard it is.
I didn't want to do it again. But I will say this. I regret it. If I can be honest, and I'm going to tell you why.
You don't always
regret. For one, the physical aspect of abortion, going, and I called the gentleman, and I wish he would have told me not to. He didn't answer my calls. His mama didn't answer my calls.
Wow.
So I couldn't tell my family. So I went alone, dropped my baby off at Head Start
at 7 o'clock
in the morning, went by myself by 8:30 in the morning and picked her up from Head Start. They could not give me any anesthesia because I didn't have anyone with me. They gave me Motrin.
No, no, no.
I had a Motrin 800 to have an abortion. Oh, we're going to go there today. I'm not here to glorify my decisions, but if we're going to help anybody, we're going to tell the truth and shame the devil. So can you imagine? That's an operation. To have a child removed from your body is an operation. And they gave me a Motrin. I felt like a train rolled over me, backed up, and backed over me a couple of times. I laid on my father's couch weeping. And I still, this is just me. I'm not a doctor, y'all. And I don't play one on TV. I have so much abdominal pain that I didn't have before that. And psychologically, when I got married finally, I asked God, please don't penalize me and keep me from giving my husband a baby because I did not keep the other one. Psychologically.
That does the thing to you. Mm-hmm. Because you're not the only one. A lot of people feel like that. Like, I'm going to use the term allegedly, how the kids go run on the street. Sadly, a lot of folks, a lot of young folks when I was growing up used abortion as a form of birth control instead of using a condom. They didn't want to wear a condom because it didn't feel good. What? You're so worried about getting pregnant. Let's just use some three letters, STDs, AIDS, HIV. You worried about a baby. You got bigger fish to fry than a baby.
Girl. But get this part. When I went into the clinic, and let me just preface this. I am still a Christian. I made a mistake. Just because I am a Christian woman doesn't mean I did everything by the book. I didn't. As much training as I did receive growing up, I did some things that were not in alignment with the word of God. And I've had to repent for those. So I'm just putting that out there. When I got there, the majority, I'm 27 at this point, when I was pregnant with her, with my second child. No, I was 29. So the majority of the people in the clinic, the young ladies had to be between 12 and 16.
Yeah.
No. A couple of them had been there multiple times. Right. I was the old hag in the room.
Right.
29. I'm the old hag. I mean, wall-to-wall girls and their mamas or their aunties, and they can't be no more than 12 to 14, 15 years old. Some habitually coming in there. You are shredding your abdominal area if you have multiple abortions. Right. I mean, I don't know how it would have to be the grace of God that you would be able to conceive after doing that over and over. I don't know how I did it once. I will never be the same in my body since then. I get aches and pains in my abdominal area. Again, this is a major procedure. And to have that done without being sedated at all, not even a mild sedation, a Motrin, because they couldn't give me anything too heavy. I had to drive home. And I didn't want to tell my family. And it's not my family's fault. My family loves me. And I have since talked to them about it. But at the time, I was so fixated on disappointing them. This is why we have to have these types of conversations. I didn't want to disappoint my family.
Too bad you didn't have and then we have to get out of the, if you have a friend like me that would support you through it, some people would be mad at me for supporting you through it instead of talking not to do it. My thing would be, whichever choice you make, I'm there for you.
Right.
You know, the pros and the cons. Why should you do it? Why shouldn't you doing it?
Right.
I said, I can't tell you which way to go, because at the end of the day, you got to sleep with yourself.
Yep.
You got to do the decision that's best for you and your heart, because I'm not going to be there to hold your head while you're crying every night.
Right.
The best I can do is bring you some Klondike bars and some Kit Kats. I got that locked and loaded. But that, you know, because not going through that, what kind of comfort can I be for you? Because you be like, that this ain't a funny moment right now. Right. So I'll just bring the snacks and I'll just let you cry.
Yes. In hindsight, I wish I had told my one best friend, who I know would have, of course, she would have told me the truth, but she would have said, at least let me go with you, or let me, you know, get something. But there was still a level of shame. I'm like, she's going to be like, girl, have you lost your mind? Do you know what we were taught? So I opted to go through it alone. But I...
Can I say this to you too? I say, which is why I get what you're saying, but I say, that's why I say, you know what? Low-key, I would have said the same thing. I said, you're going to, whether you keep the baby or not, it's going to be a level of shame, because the first thing they're going to say is, are you married and why aren't you married?
Yes.
So that's why that would have been my argument for keeping the baby. I said, they're going to be disappointed regardless, because they don't have this view. So why give them something? Why add more fuel to the fire? Which might not have been what you wanted to hear, but I would have said that. Now, I wasn't raised in the church every day, but I was raised in the church where I knew enough.
Okay.
You know, I had church and hood church. Mm-hmm. me and Quay had both sides of the church spectrum. Mm-hmm. So we knew which ways what to do and what not to do. But yeah, girl, you would have hated me and loved me at the same time. You would have hated what I said, but you would have loved my honesty and candor.
But we kind of need that. That's one of the reasons why it's important for us to have these kinds of conversations, is because the honesty part is what's missing when we talk to our children. I think as parents, we almost want to seem as though we did everything right. But the majority of people that I know were not virgins when they got married. Although that is the happiest path possible, biblically speaking. But unfortunately, unfortunately, it doesn't always happen like that. So when we are talking to our children, we got to be honest. I want you to do this right according to God's law and abstain until marriage. However, should these urges come up and they are, you know, overwhelming, and you find yourself where you make the choice to do this, then here are the precautions. My daughter knows that I was not married to her father. She knows that. I mean, there's no reason to try to pretend. But coming out of a very strict Christian background, a lot of people who got pregnant before wedlock were forced to marry.
My mom and dad.
I don't think that was, I mean, that was the way of the world. And people still believe that you should do that in some cases. But when you're young, when you're 17, 18, 18, 19, and you just have an encounter and that yields a child, that doesn't make you an automatic candidate to be somebody's husband and wife. It just means you're going to end up co-parenting. So why not both sides of the family say, okay, we're going to make sure we're going to have to co-parent. Now, I'm not saying it can't work. And there could be some couples out here who can say, it happened to me. I married the person and we're still married today, 65 years later. That can happen, but it don't happen often. But to think that just because we get right, we get into this predicament, then we got to automatically head down the aisle. There has to be some discussion there, y'all. I want to go into our sex education conversation. For those of you, well, we kind of already are. For those of you who are just getting here, thank you for tuning in to our podcast tonight. We're talking about sexual education for all ages. And to be honest, some of us adults need to be educated in terms of sex too. But if you're like me and you're born from a baby boomer, you may not have had a lot of those discussions, but here we are in 2024 with the wonderful world of the World Wide Web, all kinds of information at our kids' fingertips. We have to make sure that we are their first educator. Let's go to PlannedParenthood.org. Let me say that we're going to use a couple of articles tonight, and we use them in conjunction with the Fair Use Act. And it says the fair use of a copyrighted work for criticism, comment, news reporting, and teaching is not an infringement. All right. So sex education helps people gain the information and skills they need to make the best decisions for themselves about sex and relationships. We have to start on ground level. That's what sex education is. We want to teach our children how to make the best informed decisions for themselves. So back in our day, we mentioned it last night, we had health class. You took the paper home to your mom and daddy. Can we teach your child about sex? Yes or no? Take it back to the school, and then they show you some videos, a little bit of gonorrhea, a little bit of syphilis, or whatever else is going on. And they start talking about the body, what it does, how it operates, STDs. They're calling them something else now, Sinead. I think STD, that particular term is a little outdated, but they got some other term for it. Now I'll figure out what it is. But it's still a disease in your southern regions, okay? So we used to have
not just beer. You got to remember, you get it in your mouth too.
That too, northern and southern. I stand corrected. So in school, the teachers, the curriculum provided a certain level of training in terms of sex, in terms of the body and how it's going to change. Maybe even in terms of menstrual cycles. Maybe in terms of development of the body. Now, health class didn't cover it all, okay? And there really isn't any one class that probably can cover every possible scenario. But right, as a parent, you have to start teaching about the body parts, what to properly call them, what the what the medical terms are, and like my cousin was telling me, what the street terms are. We ain't got to be there right here, but you all know there's different terminology for our body parts. Because while we may want to, you know, we're calling it the penis and the vagina, we all know in the streets it's something totally different. The kids need to know, that way they know what's being said around them. I'm not saying they should call it that. I'm saying you got to teach your children.
You got to educate both sides.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's keep going. Planned Parenthood.
Can I add one thing to you, Mom? You can come back to this. But I also, coming from the daycare background, we have to start early teaching kids good touch and bad touch. Not only good touch, bad touch, and stranger danger, but stranger danger is not necessarily stranger. And I said this before. I don't care if it's your auntie. Everybody, even you shouldn't let your kids be okay with kissing everybody on the lip. Ooh. Whether they're family or not.
Ooh.
You know,
that's major.
And some people might think I'm wrong for saying that. I apologize, but we gotta tell them, you know, like, not again, this comes from my daycare training. About, I had one male teacher. He didn't go in the bathroom with the kids, but he didn't like taking the girls to the bathroom. Not because he was a pervert. It was just the optics of how it looked. So he goes to Nat, can you take the girls to the bathroom? I'm like, dude, you're standing outside. You're not doing nothing. He said it's the optics of how it looked. So I said, okay, what if there were no female teachers around? What would you do? He said, I probably would let them go by themselves.
Okay.
Because optically, it didn't look kosher. The men didn't like changing the diapers. I'm like, But your teacher, I don't like that stereotype that they think men are. I don't want to keep saying that word because I don't know what Facebook will do. Mm-hmm. But that the men are creepy in that profession when they're not.
So we assume that anyone that is doing something perverted to a child is always a man, and that's not true.
Right. That woman from Florida that got married to that young, that had a baby with that 14, 16-year-old in Florida. She had like two or three kids with that dude when they got married.
Wow.
First one before marriage and then one or two more afterwards. I think she died of cancer or something afterwards.
Wow. But you bring up the point, though. When you talk about the body parts, what they are, the correct term, the street term, the next conversation probably should be, why do we call them private parts? Because they belong to you. And not everybody should be able to see, touch, bathe you, you know, in these areas. And you got to start young.
You got to.
You can't wait till 16, 17. It's so much happening right
now. You missed the mark and somebody's already yapping in their ear, like telling them this and this. So and like you said before, with social media, like back in my day, we had to go to the library and use the card catalog.
Yes, and I love the library even today.
Look, we had to use the VHS and Beta and the microfiche or however you say it. We had to use all of that stuff. Today, they just need their phone and they can Google everything.
Everything that they could possibly think of. And a lot of the things that they're looking at, even on the web, some of it's true, some of it's not.
Right.
As a parent myself, my daughter will self-diagnose herself in a minute while I Googled it. Well, who checked? You know, somebody.
I got an account with WebMD, and WebMD don't have accounts, I think.
Right. And some of that stuff might have some, you know, validity, and some of that stuff, who knows who put it out there. Who knows?
You don't know. Checking
it. I don't know who's checking the checker.
Look, that and Wikipedia and everything.
Yes. Yes. Let me go back to my article here. So Planned Parenthood is the nation's largest provider of sex education, reaching 1.2 million people a year through education and outreach. Here's some facts about sex education. Sex education is high quality teaching and learning about a broad variety of topics concerning sex and sexuality. We're getting somewhere here. It explores values, beliefs about those topics, and helps people gain the skills needed to navigate relationships with yourself, come on, partner, community, and manage your own sexual health. Sex education may take place in schools, home, community sex settings, and online. I believe.
And doctor's offices.
It's the responsibility, number one, of your parents. And then there's some for the school. And I will jump and take a real leap here and say, I think it's the church.
I was just gonna say that church. That's why I say the school, the church, and the medical field should work together and do like a book or something. Right.
And notice it talks about beliefs, values. And I'm gonna say this, and I don't really don't care who gets offended by it. You cannot talk sex and sexuality without talking about LGBTQI and whatever I may have missed, and no disrespect to that community. Okay, I know you're shaking the has church mothers, but here's the deal. I'm not saying you have to be a part of the community. I'm saying you have to realize there is such a community in the world today. And you can't decide what you don't want to talk about and call yourself educating your children.
Because there are other choices.
They're going to learn. They're going to turn on whatever TV, social media, whatever that they see. And with our commercials, our TV shows, the lifestyle is everywhere. Now, I am not here to bash anyone. That's never been my intent. I believe how I believe. People can choose their own sexual orientation. This particular podcast is saying if you're going to educate about sex, you got to be all inclusive. That's my.
You got to give everything. Like I say, it's for. I agree with you. It's not for me to tell you which way to go. I'm not that type of teacher. I give you the information. I answer questions. Whatever way you go, that's between you and God, your doctor, or family. However you do it, I just say, long as you don't go to jail and you ain't committing no crime, we good.
But we got to make sure we understand we're not at the gate yet. And we live in a world where there are other options. Now, you can take it a step further in your education and educate your child on Christianity. What we believe blind. Right. You should do that. But you got to at least
have reasons. Like me, I don't pull out the Bible and quote the Bible because I'm not on that level of Bible quoting. Because, look, I'm not, because if I'm being honest, I still like a little drinky drink every now and again. So how can I quote about what you should and shouldn't do? Until I set it down wholeheartedly. I love my sex. Mm-hmm. I got a tattoo. So I can't be all preachy-preachy to people. I can tell you it's not for me.
And to be honest, that's where I leave it. You will never hear me bash any group of people. That's not who I am, and that's not who I believe as a Christian I should be. Now, I can tell you what my belief system is per the Bible, but I'm not here to bash anyone for their own adult choices. We got some comments that I don't see. Cousin Courtney's in the comments. Hi, cousin. She says, that's brave of you, and you are not alone. Thank you. I'm not getting all the comments on the screen. Fred, the one you just put up, can you put that one back up so I can read it? I'm not sure why all of my comments aren't coming through. Thank you all for tuning in today. Thank you for joining in the chat. And me and my sister, Sinette, we just telling the truth today. Now, here is where, thank you, Fred. When we do not teach our kids correctly, they will learn it from the street or from their experience. And I would you don't want to wait until the street teaches them, because it's probably not going to be right. I will be honest, my personal experience with the whole talk, the birds, the bees, the flies in the trees, whatever you calling it these days, my mother sat me down at the dining room table with my stepdad. And they hadn't been married that long, so I was totally grossed out. And she gave me a book. I mentioned this last night. The book had kind of a view of how body parts change. There's a part for girls and a part for boys. There wasn't a lot of talking. It was more so read this and let me know if you have any questions. Well, I don't know what I don't know. And number one, why is he here? Why is he here? And I love my stepdad. May he rest in peace. But to me, that was not the time and place for him to be there. It's already awkward being a stepdaughter. That should have been me and my mother. This is just me talking. I wanted it to be just us. And I wanted us to have a conversation. Don't just give me an illustration in a book. Let's read it together. Talk to me about what your own experiences were when you were a kid. Because just giving someone a book is not really enough. But again, I don't know what her family taught her. She was brought up in a staunch Church of God in Christ. No lipstick, no chapstick, just be ashy and chapped and dry for Jesus. So she was brought up in that era. Long skirts, no short sleeves, hosiery in 90 degrees, don't cut your hair, no earrings. So a parent kind of can only give you, in a sense, what they have. So if they're not, that's why we all need the sexual education, not just the kids. We all gonna have to go back and learn, because many of us grew up in households where you couldn't even say the word sex.
There's no words you couldn't even say.
I mean, there are some households If you were born in the 80s like me, we're not talking about that. We Christians. What?
Look, try growing up in the 70s and let me know what you think.
Ooh-wee.
Okay.
But that's why it's important to say, hold on, I want to be my child's teacher. As a parent, this is my baby. This is right. My child. I should really be involved in all of their education, not just sex, but their education, period. Life.
Lay down. Look, gone are the days when parents actually taught their kids ABCs and 1, 2, 3s. They don't teach them that. You know, like maybe it's just me, and I'm taking this a little off topic, but I'll bring it back in. We had the Magic Garden, Sesame Street, Electric Company. What's the other one? Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Oh, Lord.
Saturday morning cartoon when Bill Cosby was cool. Not today, Bill Cosby, but back then, Fat Albert. You know, cartoons were a little raunchy, but not raunchy.
Absolutely. Fred says we have to not distort nor water down that conversation, right. Which means a willingness to be honest. Because all you would hear in church is abstinence, abstinence, run. Books before boys, because boys bring babies.
But and another thing I want to say, and this is not to attack church, but I've seen this a lot in churches or just in general speaking. They always go to the girls and say what the girls don't do. When you going to start talking to them daggone boys?
There was always a double standard. If a young lady was to get pregnant, number one, that young lady is definitely going to have to be in front of the church to apologize. They may bring the boy in, but the girl is going to be treated differently because she must be fast. How right. did you get yourself in this predicament, young lady? Like she did it by herself. Now, when my loved one got pregnant early, she and the baby's father had to go before the congregation to repent.
Was that mandatory or was it optional?
In that particular case, it was mandatory. There was no choice. We're talking about the 90s. You had to tell the church, you know, you sinned, to make sure you repented to God. So when I got pregnant out of wedlock at 27, the majority of the tears I shed wasn't because I was pregnant. It was, what is my church, my family going to say? They're going to be so disappointed. They always felt that the one person that's going to do right in life is LaTanya. They're not going to think that anymore about me. I'm pregnant at 27 and I'm not married. So the shame of it all is what led me to cry as hard as I did. I wanted a child. I didn't want to go about it that way per se, but I felt more condemnation and shame than anything else. My daughter is not a mistake. She's my blessing. You will never hear me say one cross word about her father in his death. I tell him to rest in peace every time it's Father's Day. You will not hear me say a disparaging word about him because that's part of the reason why I have Gabrielle today. But what I did tell Gabrielle was to be honest with you, what I did that brought you here is considered a sin.
Right.
But you are not a mistake to me. That's how I broke that down. I want you to do better than me. I'm going to suggest abstinence. But if you find yourself in a fiery loinage situation, then there are some protective measures that you ought to take.
And like from pregnancy, from disease.
But if you can wait.
You know, a lot of people say, you know, the babies are expensive, but taking care of that medical condition is more expensive. I said, we all ain't walk around here like Magic Johnson with that type of money. Because he thankfully is able to look as good as he does because he got that money. Let's call it what it is. A lot of us ain't got his type of paper. We don't have it. He might have access to medicines that the average person will never get. he can take a bunch of trial medication and see which one works.
But you also have to realize there's a reason why I believe there's a reason why the Bible talks about sex being for marriage. When you indulge in sexual activity, there's something that's happening, not just physical, there's something happening psychological to you.
Yeah, when mentally, you emotionally.
That type of moment. And I can't speak for the brothers, but for women, sex is way more emotional sometimes than it is physical. Right. We feel as though, oh, we're connecting. He's going to love me. But for him, it may not be that. And I don't know what's in the mind of men. I'll let Fred Beattie talk about that. But what I'm saying is for the brothers that I know that I've been involved with, or if I've talked to one-on-one, it was physical. And when it was over, it was over. Whereas with the woman, she's still holding on. Well, do we go together? No, no, girl, we just had sex. No, we don't go together.
Go back to the conversation before sex. Had that conversation.
You gotta have conversation.
It might ruin the mood for him, but at least you know where his mindset is before now your mind is messed up. If he don't want to have that conversation, then he shouldn't be having none of the cookies.
I agree. Now, here is what comprehensive sex education for K through 12 includes. This is PlannedParenthood.org. All right. K through 12. Human development, including puberty, anatomy, sexual orientation, and gender identity. Now, that probably wasn't the same in 1987.
Yeah, I don't remember that part being talked about.
But we got to keep in mind, we're in 2024. Right. So now in 2044, this probably sounds different.
Right.
So we have to evolve when it comes to sexual education, not sexual preference. We ain't got there yet. But the education around sex has to involve what's happening in the time of which you're teaching.
And also throw this in there to hygiene. The hygiene part of areas and underarms.
Yes. And we can go into that with Girl Chat Weekly. I think I want to go into, and I mentioned it online, a whole series about hygiene. For young ladies, in terms of, you know, having a cycle, in terms of just being sweaty. And I mean, that's a whole series right there, because the church mothers, grandmothers, they're dying off. And right. There really aren't people who are teaching on that level. And right. You're assuming that a young lady knows what to do, knows how to keep herself clean, knows to change her pad so often, knows how to properly dispose of a used sanitary napkin. It may sound fundamental to you out there, but some just people ain't talking about no more. And when you smell something on somebody, you say, "That smell kind of fishy." That young child, or maybe not so young person, may have not been taught how to maintain themselves, especially during the period of time.
And also, I want to add this. We got to also remember what women that come from other countries that don't have the stuff we have here.
Okay.
I remember, and I'm going to be honest, and I'm going to really embarrass myself. I remember times where I didn't have pads. I had to use tissue. So I'm in the bathroom like once an hour, putting in fresh tissue something. And it's just so ironic. One of my friends said, I remember you always having baby powder. When you would stand up, you would have a baby powder butt print in the chair, because that's just, we were taught as kids. Maybe it was just
trying
me.
Trying to stay clean, trying to stay
good.
Right. Yes. So, yes. You know, but now,
adults, women don't do it right.
We don't. And we used to douche back in the day.
Right.
I don't know if anybody still does that, but I don't think douching is the best for us anymore. But
not
douching was really
once in a while. maybe once a month.
It was real big. And for those of you out there who don't know what a douche is, I call it a frontal enema.
Yeah.
It's kind of like an enema, but they probably don't even know what an enema is. There's this little bag of salt water.
Or vinegar and water. Or
vinegar water. And
let me say clearly, it's something like the cooking vinegar type of vinegar, mm-hmm. not the cleaning vinegar. Let's be very mm-hmm. clear.
So it was in a bottle, and it had a nozzle on it, and the nozzle was to be inserted into the vagina. You squeeze it, and it's supposed to clean you out in that area.
Ironically, we bring this up because I do believe I have a couple in my cabinet.
Mm-hmm. It was real big when I was a young girl. And we're talking about human development here. We're talking about sex education. So when you are teaching your young daughters about their bodies, you also have to have the discussion of, if you wear underwear and you get home and they're very smelly, your vagina could have secretions, which means you need a panty liner. Are y'all talking about panty liners, ladies? To your daughter.
You know how people think I'm weird because I always put one in my underwear? They're like, why? I said, just in case.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, you know, I might sweat. You never know. Or I'm trying to make sure I stay clean. When you're past gas, and yeah. that gas might be a little odorous. So yeah. that way. But I always buy the unscented penis liners. You can't have the scented ones.
And we got to talk about that too, because they make everything with the scent. Hey, Ebony. Ebony's in the comments.
Hi, Ebony.
I see some of the comments, but not all. So Fred's going to have to help me to see the comments.
I don't see none of them up here.
They're not coming on my screen, so I don't know why they're not showing. So y'all just hang out with me, because Fred's going to have to help me with the comments. But keep typing them. I'm on Facebook now so I can watch them. But when you talk sex education, you have to talk human development. And as a woman, a young girl, a young lady, you have to teach your daughter that fiery loinage situation. Cousin Kenyatta, yeah. We got to talk about that. The reality is, we may want them to abstain. Sure, my mom wanted me to abstain. Sure, her mama wanted her to abstain. But many of us don't and haven't. So we got to talk about precautions. We have to teach our children to do and be better so they will not repeat our errors. Correct. We have to be demonstrative with our kids, not just do as I say, but some of us are going to have to change our own ways. For some of us, that experience is more of a physical thing. That's from Freya Beattie. Okay. See, I mean, men and women look at sex differently. I'm not saying men have no emotions. You will never hear me say that. But in my own personal experiences, the majority of the dudes that I've talked to or listened to, it's more physical than it is emotional. Comment, in 2024, we tend to dance around sex education, thus the problem. Houston, we have found the problem. So thank you all for tuning in. If I'm not seeing your comments, forgive me. Fred is down in the studio helping me. When you are talking to your daughters, oh, Ebony, you ain't missed the conversation, girl. You right on time. You right on time. When you're talking to her about her hygiene, about her underwear, keeping them clean and washed, about using liners, about changing the liner if it's too soiled. Come on.
Right.
If your liner has things in it or stuff in it that's smelly, change the liner. You got to tell them that. You
know, that baby powder, can I throw this out? Because mm-hmm. I know we see the commercials. Baby powder down there ain't safe like it used to be. We got to stop putting baby powder in our underwear. And I say that as women, because there's a lot of cancer cases coming up for women down there. So that's something.
Right.
And also,
my sister in here.
Mm-hmm. How you call it? I don't know if they still sell it, but I don't know if I can say the names. Summer's Eve Massinger used to spray them. It was like the elderly.
Yes, spray.
And those are good. For me, if you're going to use those, spray those on your underwear. Don't spray them in your lower area.
But you definitely should look at what the ingredients are. We probably should look at, because everything that has a good smell isn't good for you.
Right, because when they hit that area,
you might assume that, oh, it smells like powder. It smells like cucumber lemon. You got to be careful because this is a whole organ down there, and there are certain chemicals, even the kind of pads we wear. I got to get my cousin Kenyatta. I got a cousin Kenyatta.
You know what my grandma and others you see on TV, that yes, that area is kind of a natural cleaning oven, but you still need a little soap and water.
A little. Some of us need a lot. Because, I mean, think about this. When I was, and we're going to get back on topic, but it's all sex education. When I was younger, I thought something was wrong with me because of the amount of moisture. But that's why my mother told me, we have to wear liners. I did it. Your grandmother did it. You had to know your body. And we can't know what we're not in tune with. That's why mothers, don't be ashamed to have those kind of discussions. Because guess what? When that baby go to school and she's smelling, and the bullies and everybody attack her, you're gonna want to go up there fighting.
And you know another reason why that area smells, if we can just talk about this for 2 minutes, no one tells the young, especially young girls and even young boys, you have to shave that area. You might not have to go totally shaving all, but you need to trim back depending on how your hair grow. You have to adjust it for you. Your hair growth. I don't have that major issue underarm wise or lower ear wise. I can go, I'll just say my underarms, I can go almost 2 years without shaving my underarms.
But again, you have to have that conversation, because if you're dealing with a whole forest down there and you can braid it, jerry curl it, spiral curl it, and crimp
it. You can put box braids and you can put a weave that it looks like dreadlocks.
Any place where there is hair and moisture, underarms, lower region, then there's going to be odor. Because think about how many hours a day you have on your clothes. If you're going to school, we in school for what, 7 hours?
Tell me about it.
8 o'clock in the morning to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't know who.
And then don't talk about playing sports or whatever after school.
Exactly.
Or the after school job. And I tell you, like, I got a whole bunch of stories on this. And if his family watching, they might get mad and laugh at me.
But you, said box breaks in that. Said box breaks. Box breaks in your lower region, Jesus. And some beads. Don't mess around and put some beads on the braids.
Okay, the double sequence are. Let me tell you my crazy behind it. Yes, Kenyatta, box braids, something like that. But with an ex of mine, he didn't stink. Let's be very clear, it wasn't a body odor thing. But with his underarm here, he was applying so much deodorant so to make sure he didn't stink. And I told him, I said, you got too much underarm here.
Too much.
And I said, to clean that deodorant out, let me tell you what I did. Put your water down so you can laugh. I had to pull out the Head and Shoulder shampoo. Head and Shoulder shampoo and conditioner. Now I shampooed that first. Then I used a regular moisturizing shampoo. Then the moisturizing conditioner. Ran a comb through it. Cut it with some scissors, and then wash it out, and then shaved it with the razor.
That's a whole press and curl. You have just done a whole press and curl under the man's arm. But you had to teach him. We're talking about girls, but men. I mean,
it's going to smell. Shaving, but look, men think shaving underarms is a girl thing. I said, look how many basketball players shave their underarms. And boxers and swimmers. Think about a lot of only ones you might not see do it is maybe football players. Those that actually wear.
But if you don't have the conversations in that, let me give you a story about what I dealt with as a child. I wouldn't say child. I probably was about, I would say 13, 14. And my mom kept me dressed pretty nicely. Shout out to Marianne Plus. Learners Plus, and yeah. Okay. My mother kept me pretty good. Now, here's the thing. If you get up and get a shower, but you put on an outfit that's musty, you are now dirty.
Yes.
If we're not teaching our kids that, and the other way around is, if you are dirty, but you put on a crispy, clean outfit,
the outfit dirty.
You are now dirty. But are we talking to our kids about that? I got up, got all showered up, put on my Jean Nate, honey. What you talking about? Who know about Jean Nate? And the outfit I wanted to wear, my favorite two-piece dress, it was a little twangy up under the arms. I didn't have time to wash it. So I said, well, if I put enough Jean Nate on it, okay?
Yeah, I don't know nothing about that, girl. They
curb the must. Not true. So we went to the concert. I have to ask my cousin if she remembers this. We went to the concert. We were always going to gospel concerts growing up. And that was what we did as children or young adults. Then they started smelling me. And I know it's kind of funny, but it kind of triggers some things too. They started smelling like, what's that musty smell? And they figured out that it was me. So instead of a couple of them tapping me like, come with me, it turned out to be this big joke. Somebody stank. Da, 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 da. So my cousin, who loves me dearly, she was like, what are y'all talking about? They told her. She grabbed me. We went to the church bathroom. She had me take off my shirt, and we washed the underarms of that dress with bathroom soap and scrubbed it to try to get as much musk and Jean Nate off so they wouldn't smell it. But again, why didn't I know that? Because I wasn't told that.
Right.
You're told to be Jean Nate, honey, splash. If you're not taught, dear child, being clean means the following. Your body is clean, and the clothes you put on your body are also clean. That has to be a two-part process.
And don't forget the sneakers and stuff too. You gotta clean your sneakers and shoes and stuff too.
Right? But that's the thing. We're not teaching our children to that level of specificity. Come on, word. So that we can explain to them what the consequences are. A clean body and a dirty outfit. You dirty, boo. You dirty. Same thing with the lower region.
We all on the topic. Let's don't forget clean hair. Clean
yes. ears. Yes. Yes.
Your ears, your yes. navel.
Breath.
Breath. Girl, please. Boom.
We're talking about sex education. The first thing is human development. Before right. I get into the act of having sex, I talk to you about your body.
You got
that don't even make sense until we talk to the kids about their body, how right. to treat it, how to care for it. And then when you start to go into the part about body parts, you can tell them, okay, there are certain parts of your body that are considered private areas, you know, how to clean them, but certain people, no one should be touching you there.
Right.
I don't care who they are. I don't care whose friend it is. I don't care if it's uncle, cousin, whoever. No one is to be touching you in those parts. Now, if I'm your mother and you're young and I bathe you, that's different.
But you know what? And I asked, as parents, I asked you, how do you have that? Because I say this from, I asked this to someone that worked in daycare that had the babe kids. Mm-hmm. So I was trained to always ask the kid. Now the kid is like 9 months old, what he know? But it's still that conversation, you know, because you just don't, like if you have a 1 year old on the potty, you don't just, you know, cause you might scare that child. You're going to clean them and then they're telling their parent, oh, so-and-so missing that was touching my privates. And it gets blown out of proportion when you're just cleaning them. So do you, as a parent, do you feel you have to have that mommy, daddy's washing you up? How do you address that with your mm-hmm. young child or what during potty training and bathing? So okay. where it's not offensive, but you're not hurting them, you're teaching them what's right and wrong, Because mm-hmm. if we're honest, some moms and dads are not good at that neither. They're mm-hmm. doing evil stuff. So I'm trying to figure out, navigate the right and wrong way to address it if that question ever comes up to me.
Okay. Let me go through my comments have now mysteriously showed up. I think maybe I just had to have a refresh. I'm going to paraphrase this comment. I know it's a sensitive topic, and I have to be careful because Facebook likes certain words and doesn't like other words, but it came up that shaving the area isn't recommended. There could probably be a cut down of the hair, but not shaving or waxing, right? Because there could be hair bumps. That's something you're going to have to research for sure. Let me just say what I was saying. I ain't have to shave nothing. Peachfuzz.com. That's all I'm going to say. Kenyatta says, I love you guys. We love you as well. And she says her husband does shave his underarms all the time. Yes, we have to account for depression. So many, including children, are suffering from it and may not be hygienic because they don't have the wherewithal to do it. That's a good point. I was talking about hygiene earlier when it came to an adult that had depression, but I can see how that can also apply to children. One of the things that happens to you, I can remember my therapy classes. In therapy, the first thing that we used to be asked in group therapy is, what was our goal for the day? And one lady will always say, I just want to get a shower. People look at her like, what you mean getting a shower? You're supposed to get a shower. When you're depressed, you may not have the strength to even get a shower.
So not every physical strength, is that mental and emotional.
Exactly. So not every person who lacks hygiene is because they're just nasty. Some people are experiencing a depressive moment or live in that depressive space to where mentally they're just not able to do it. So it may seem odd to some of us who get up every day and get in the shower is like clockwork. Not everybody has that. They have a shower, but mentally they're in a place where I don't even have the strength mentally to get my legs out of the bed to get into the shower. So you have to be aware that. I agree. Let me read the next comment. Fortunately, my child was only kept by my mom, so I didn't have to allow anyone else to change her. She didn't go with anyone until she could potty on her own. And the blessing of that, I was like that too, Ebony, when Gabby was very small. My babysitter was my best friend, and she stayed with her for a couple of years before going to Head Start. So that is a blessing. Those of us who have had to use daycares, you need to vet them. You need to research. You need to get referrals. You need to make sure you are not just going by who offering the best rate. If it's too
particular. You got to make sure it's clean. You don't want
it's not going to be
100% clean, but you don't want your child bringing home no ifs, ands, or who nannies and what nannies and all that. Absolutely. Type of stuff.
So look up the credentials. Find out, do you know anyone personally that has taken their child there? I mean, in this day and age, in 2024, people are able to open up businesses under false pretenses.
Can so I say this to confirm what you just said?
Hold on. Let me
just think it was in New York. I don't know if you've seen in the news in New York where they was running a drug operation mm-hmm. alongside the daycare. Mm-hmm. And they, where the babies laid down on the cot, they had drugs on the floorboards. Mm-hmm. And I guess the aroma got through. And because they, which I was just like floored until a nurse explained to me, because the babies are so little, any cocaine that's floating in the air, the baby's gonna OD over it because the baby's only like 20-30 pounds. Wow. So wow. It was, when you Google it, I believe it was New York. If I could find the link, I'll send it to you. But it was like crazy. Like, I want to say one or two, if not more, babies died. At least two babies died. And a couple was admitted mm-hmm. to the hospital. I don't remember what happened to it. Just like last year or the year before last.
And here is another reason to make sure you are paying attention to, sorry about the noise in my background. Another reason why it's important to make sure you are educating your children and yourselves when you put a child in daycare or when you have them around anybody, I don't care whether it's family, friends, or whatever, children touch other children.
Right.
Not because they're natural born predators at times, because something has happened to them where their curiosity has been opened.
Or they see, like you said, curiosity, or they see other adults doing stuff
yes.
that they shouldn't be seeing.
Yes, yes. So if you're not educating your children about good touch, bad touch, who should or should not touch, no matter who they are relationally, and you are putting your child in a daycare center and say that child, the daycare operator is an older lady, but yet she has helpers who may be her sons, her daughters, her grandkids, right. all of everybody got to get vetted. If that's a business, a daycare business, just because you are related to the owner doesn't give you the right to come and care for my child. But parent, you got to figure out who's up in that house.
And you gotta, like you said, check credentials. You gotta have a background check. Just like a job does a background check on you, you better do a background check on whoever's taking care of your kid.
Yes.
I don't want to say it in that way, but yeah, I highly suggest it.
But it's true. And stop making the assumptions. I hate to open this door, but I need to do this. Let me get this comment. Every closed eye isn't sleeping. A lot of children are being exposed to adult things, and the parents think the kid is sleeping because baby kids are predators too. Be careful of what you are allowing your children to see, to hear, to read. Mm. Even when you're buying your children cell phones at 10 months. What they have access to on the internet, there's parental controls that you can sign up for through certain telephone carriers. Gabby, when she had her cell phone, I had an app that regulated the time of the day she could use the internet and how much access she had. It may seem extreme to you, but that's the way I chose to parent.
Can I give you my extreme idea? And this is just an idea I have for all the parents. I said, as long as you're paying a cell phone bill, every text they send or receive, you can get a copy. Every email, every pic, everything that they're doing on that cell phone, because the cell phone is in your name. And even if the kid is paying the phone bill, if they don't want you in their business, they need to get it in their name, period. If it's in your name, maybe that's how I grew up. My mom was like, so my name is my business. You ain't got no business till you get your own house. Mm-hmm. Period.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So going back to our conversation, let me just say this and then we're going to move on. When you are, and I don't want to harp just on the ladies, but it just seems like this seems to be a problem more so with us because we tend to be the custodial parent in these cases. When you choose to date and you are entertaining men, you have to be very mindful of who you bring around your children. Not just your girls, but your children, period. Yeah. Many times the predator isn't a man. It could be a woman. Women molest children as well. We can't say this is just a male predator situation. Females can be molesters as well. And I'm not justifying it, but a lot of times when people have been molested, sometimes that opens up either you're going to be overly sexual or you don't want nobody nowhere near you or somewhere in the middle. Sexual trauma changes people and you don't know how you're going to react to sexual trauma. Sometimes the reaction is Pandora's box is open. And now you are curious about everything and everybody, and you want to just touch, and you want to see what this feels like. And that's kind of it can somewhat be natural in a sense, but you gotta intercept that. And you got to say, if you have a child that has been touched, first of all, let me say this. If a child comes to you and tells you that has happened, believe them. I'm not saying kids can never lie, but it would take a lot for me to not believe a child that says that.
Right.
I am an adult that was a child that didn't get believed.
Right.
The act of not believing is almost, if not as egregious as the assault, as the inappropriate act. Because the one person or the two people that you expect to protect you are your parents. So when someone tells you that it's supposed to be responsible for you, that you are lying, that is devastating.
That makes you don't want to say nothing in the future.
See, that's why no one tells anybody anything, because who wants to
and
be
they keep you? Going and going and going and going. It happens again and again.
And I've talked to people who have been victims of molestation or inappropriate touching or even rape in atmospheres where the person involved was a member of the clergy, but she was put out of the church where he got prayed for. He got therapy. He got help. But she, as the woman, as the girl, was shunned, called a harlot, had a scarlet letter put on her. That's wrong. And that's the kind of ideal that makes us go down the wrong path. Mm-hmm. If you're going to be honest about it, if two people did something consensual, then you can tell them both the same thing. But if that man raped that young girl, why would you want him back in your pulpit? Why would you want him back anywhere? Why would you want him back doing anything around kids? Okay. Because he's a preacher. Because, no. We don't want to tell that. No. He just going through something. That's a whole nother show. Ebony says, woo, child. I did not date until my child was 12. And even then, he didn't come around her.
Right.
I applaud you, Ebony. I started out like that. But then my naivety was, like you said, every sleeping child ain't sleep. So when she's sleeping, she don't hear nothing. She don't know nothing. See, no evil, hear no evil. And then go knock on the back door two times. No, honey. And children can sense when a stranger is in their home.
Okay.
Children know, like, who is that? Why is our door opening up? And I know mama and I are already in the house. Please. Please be careful with your children. Whether you are a father or a mother, please don't make assumptions about anybody. Pray about everybody. All right. We can wrap this up. Now it's going to be a part two and probably up to 7 or 8. K through 12, sex education, relationships, including self, family, friendships, romantic relationships, and health care providers. These are topics that are included in a comprehensive sex education program for K through 12. We're talking about real life experiences here. Personal skills, including communication, boundary setting, negotiation, and decision making. Next, sexual behavior, including the full spectrum of ways to be or not be sexual beings. Ooh. So now we're gonna ruffle the feathers of some of the religious folks. Sex exists. It was created for a purpose. So stop hiding the conversations. Right. Maybe if you educate yourself, you'll feel more comfortable teaching about it. Maybe you need to become educated as well along the way. Moms, dads, clergymen, deacons, ushers, chicken fryers, pound cake bakers. If we're going to all be a village, if we're going to all be a family, if we're going to all be a community, why don't we all take these courses so we can know what we're teaching and be consistent with the message? Ebony says, now almost 7 years later, their thickest thieves and his kids are mine too. See? But I like how you were aware, Ebony, and you knew, okay, let me pump the brakes and make sure I'm doing this to where I protect my daughter, not just feeding on my own flesh, but I got to make sure that I do this right because somebody else is in this house with me.
That's good, that's a very good idea.
I didn't always do that. I wasn't always thinking the right way. I thought I was, but then again, going back to my childhood, being a child of a single mother who was dating, I saw people. I wasn't sleeping on the back seat. I smelled the cologne. Who was that? That ain't the same. Hickory smoke cologne. That ain't the same old spice. That ain't nothing nice. So, and I have these images in my head. I can remember y'all being like 4 years old, feeling the coldness of the leather seat as I'm getting put into the back of a yellow Granada, taking some man to work at the wee hours of the morning. And I'm not trying to throw any shade, but children remember. I'm 48. And I still can remember the coldness of the leather seat. And my grandmother was like, why you got my baby out here at 2 a.m. taking this man to work? Where is his car? Bring me my baby. If you got to go, you go, but bring her to me. Come on, grandmothers. Okay, let me keep going so we can wrap up in about 4 minutes. Sexual health, including sexually transmitted infections, STIs. That's what they're calling them now. Same thing, but just different language. Birth control.
Okay.
Pregnancy and abortion. All right. Society and culture, including media literacy. We in 2024. Media literacy, shame and stigma, and how power, identity, and oppression impact sexual wellness and reproductive freedom. This is 2024. So if all you're doing is drawing a stick figure, a bird, and a bee, we got to get you ready for the real conversations. Because trust me, in the 1990s, Jodeci, Guy, all the R&B crooners was talking about sex.
Look, don't forget 112. 112 Peaches.
Listen. All of the groups was talking about sex. Even if he was more subtle, some more subtle than everybody wasn't Luke Skywalker. Blank, blank, and more blank. Nope. But yeah.
We didn't even know half the songs or what they meant, but we was out there singing them.
But that's the other thing. When you have children and they're listening to the adult content songs, they know every word. Let me lick, let me kiss, let me touch, and they too.
That's what I said. To go back to the old shows we watched when we were kids.
They too. And they're watching the housewife, you know, shows. They're watching Love and Hip Hop, and they're too.
And those are my shows, but for 2 years.
And you wonder why some of the behaviors that they exhibit can be overly sexual. Because they're watching you, and they're watching what you watch, mama and daddy. So our parenting has got to be taken more seriously. Everything you do, mom and dad, and they're exposed to stuff outside the home too. You got to prepare them.
You got to know your kid because some 2-year-olds act more like 5-year-olds and some 5-year-olds act like 2-year-olds. Ooh. And I did that from the daycare setting. I'm like, you 5 years old. Why are you acting like you 2? That don't make sense.
Wow.
And it wasn't a bad thing. It was just, I think in retrospect, they were being kids. But some 2-year-olds were reading and trying to write better than the 5-year-old. Because like I told you before, and this had nothing to do with home, but just no one's communicating with each other about this is what I want for the kid. Yes, we're doing the sex edge card, but you got to have the writing and the pictures and the books. You got to have these things and going, girl, it's crazy. We got to have all of
we
that.
Gotta have each other. We got to have each other. I really want us to have more conversations, maybe in small groups. If you live in a community that has parents, soon to be parents, whatever, what would it harm you to say, hey, let me introduce myself. I live next door, you know, get back to getting to know each other and say, you know, I've raised several children. If you would allow me, you know, I would love to talk to you. Now, nowadays, people don't really want to open up like that. So you got to be cautious. But if they're willing, if you make it into a community organization.
And you always have to ask respectfully. If they say no, don't get mad. Just say, okay. Whatever you have changed your mind, let me know.
Absolutely. So calling all my community activists, those of you who still do have block clubs, those of you who have different alliances in your communities, this is the type of stuff that we need to introduce and have conversations about. Maybe have a parenting class. I'm going to get Marsha Calhoun back on here. She's an educator and she does parenting courses. And a part of those courses should probably be how to prepare our kids for the sex talk. And you have to do it early. You cannot wait until they get a period to start talking about a period. You're going to have to be ahead of this. So as I mentioned before, I'm not a doctor. I'm not even super well versed in this. I can only go by from experience, but I brought my articles that we can break down. But to all people out there, if this is your expertise area, let me know who you are. I would love to have you on. You can be an educator, a physician, OBGYN, whatever you are. If you teach this stuff and you talk about this stuff in the school setting, then I need you on this platform. We want to help each other. I call this critical conversations because we've avoided it. And now we have a void when it comes to what our children know and understand. We cannot leave it up to the R&B singers and the rappers and the streets to educate our kids about sex. We parents, we are their first teachers. Those are our children.
All right.
And we also have to be cognizant of the fact that if you don't feel you know enough, chances are maybe you shouldn't be having children. So maybe you ought to be taking care of protection and birth control and condoms. Yep, I'm talking to you. You don't have to have a baby by every person you date. You don't.
Right.
You don't. Mm-mm. You can do so, you know, in the right way. You can be clean about it, or you can leave it alone totally. But we got to get away from the mindset of the only way we can show love and affection is sex. No. And what's your purpose for dating them? Are you dating with a purpose, or are you dating just to be sexually gratified? Sexual education. I got to get out of here. Thank you to everybody in the chat, Sinet, as always. Thank you, my dear. Frederick Beatty. Thank you, sir. Part two. We will be back because this is so layered, y'all. Please share. Please subscribe. I would love to get our Facebook page up to 1,000 followers for Trailblazers by the end of March. So go ahead and follow us on Facebook and subscribe on YouTube. Help us to increase our reach, all right? Good night, everybody. I'll be back Monday at 9:30 in the a.m. with Andrew Griffin on Power Hour. Good night, y'all. Love y'all.
Good night, everybody.